are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
A voyaging ship capsized during a storm at sea, and only two of the men on it were able to swim to a small desert-like island. The two survivors, who had been good friends, not knowing what else to do, agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray to God. However, to find out whose prayer was more powerful, they agreed to divide the territory between them and stay on opposite sides of the island. The first thing prayed for was food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree on his side of the land, and he was able to eat its fruit. The other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely and he decided to pray for a wife. The next day, another ship was wrecked and the only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of the island. On the other side of the island, there was nothing. Soon the first man prayed for a house, clothes, and more food. The next day, like magic, all of these things were given to him. However, the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship so that he and his wife could leave the island. In the morning, he found a ship docked at his side of the island. The first man boarded the ship with his wife and decided to leave the second man on the island. He considered the other man unworthy to receive God's blessings since none of his prayers had been answered. As the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a voice from heaven booming, "Why are you leaving your companion on the island?" Man said, "My blessings are mine alone, since I was the one who prayed for them. His prayers are all unanswered, and so he does not deserve anything." "You are mistaken," the voice rebuked him. "He had only one prayer, which I answered. If not for that, you would not have received any of my blessings." "Tell me," the first man asked the voice, "what did he pray for that I should owe him anything?" "He prayed that all your prayers be answered." Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you that if it not be for what you done for us, we'd be in trouble. And so, Lord, as we dig into your word a little bit tonight and get an understanding of who you are and your selfless nature, we pray that it would impact us and change us to be more in your image, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 12, 23 to 25 says, "Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Subject tonight is Jesus is selfless. A number of years ago, it was about 25 years ago, I was at another church before this church, and it was around the time that I would say my life had been off the rails a bit, and I was starting to get things back into gear, and you know, I worked a fairly standard sort of job and started to get involved with this church, and this church was a community church out the other side of the city, and I remember at one stage we'd been given, you know, some real opportunity in the church to start to get into the community. And we had someone from the community come and talk to us about helping the local youth out. And so it was, you know, we were asked to come along to this meeting, and this person from the local, I think it was the local council, came in and was talking about the youth and the situation and what could be done. And so came along to the meeting and just sat and listened. And as I listened to what they said and what was needed and how we could help. I sat there in my selfishness and thought about how I had an AFL membership and thought about the basketball I was involved with, thought about the indoor cricket I was involved with, and I thought about just a number of things that were very, very important in my life. You know, I had to go to two or three games of AFL footy on the weekend to watch it. And I remember walking out of that meeting, and in the whole meeting I was making every excuse under the sun why I wasn't able to help. And my life was so very important. I was very busy. I was very important. And I can remember coming away from there, and I look back, I still remember that to this day. I look back on that and I shudder. I shudder at the thoughts that were going through my head at that time. A couple of years after that, things began to change. And as I let some of that self go, or I killed it off, or it died, as the scripture says, when a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And I started to see some seeds come from my selfishness being put to the ground. And I look back on this and many other stories in my life, and I shudder at my selfishness at times. And my wife's sitting here in the front row, and she'd probably be able to attest to my selfishness from time to time. And it's still there, but hopefully things have changed and are continually changing. But it was the fact that the kernel of wheat had to die. The self part had to die in order to produce seeds that produce more seeds, or many seeds. Now, in the next three messages, the Jesus is selfless. And so as we look on the board, we can see, Jesus is perfect. Now, I can only be perfect because he is perfect. And so I can't be Lord like Jesus is Lord. I can't be the Alpha and Omega like Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. But I can aspire to be selfless as Jesus was selfless. And so for the next 3 weeks, if we read this scripture, 1 John 4, 16 to 17, it says, "And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us..." It's interesting, Graham shared from this scripture this morning. I had no idea he was doing that. "That God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." And I want to highlight this part of the scripture, because as he is, so are we in this world. So Jesus is selfless. And over the next three messages that I do, I want us to be able to see that we might think, well, I can't be Jesus, and we can't be Jesus, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can be like Christ. The Bible says that we can be like Christ. And so if we're sitting there and, you know, Jesus has done so much for us. But if we consider, you know, Graham spoke about Jesus is our promised land. And a lot of the children of Israel, they didn't take hold of the promised land because they looked out. They were looking inside and they said, it's too hard. It's just too hard to get there. Well, it's not too hard to get there. You might sit there tonight and say, well, I'm the most selfish person on earth and I can't be selfless. Well, yes, you can. And God can empower you to be selfless. Now, we're all at different stages along that journey, but with God's help, we can be more like Christ. And so if we have a look at the Passion Translation, it says, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. It is possible. It's not I can't, but I can. And then Jesus was selfless. Philippians 2, 3 to 8 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. And that's that verse 5. Just want you to look at that first 5. Like in the other scripture that says, because he as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is possible. It's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit for our mind to be in us, for Jesus' mind to be in us. So it is possible. And if we have a look at Jesus' selflessness over the next few verses here in verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God. Sorry, not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So I brought the ladder along tonight. Matt, you put it the wrong way. It needed to be this way, mate. No, it's okay. I'm good. It's all right. You're good, mate. No worries. Thanks, Matt. And so if we have a look at the ladder and see that Jesus is God, and so if we have a look, oh, geez, I hope I don't fall down from here. But Jesus is God and he's up here. And equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He came down from the ladder, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it won't bear more seeds. And Jesus did that very thing. He came down from a high place to earth and he died and has borne much fruit, as we've seen. We all deal with selfishness in our lives because, as we see, selfless, the opposite of selfless, is selfish. And we all deal with selfishness in our own lives. Now, some of us here deal with selfishness more than others. Where does it come from? Well, sometimes I look at my kids. Sorry, Josh, up the back there. You're listening to that. Sometimes I look at my kids and I think, where does their selfishness come from? You can tell me. And I go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and I go, that's where it came from. But where does selfishness come from? Well, it comes from the Father. Correct, but the father of lies. That's where selfishness comes from. He, from a human point of view, began in the garden, but it began before that. He's the father of lies, as Graham actually talked about the father of lies this morning. He can't do anything but lie, and that's Satan. And he's the father of selfishness. So when you see selfishness in your own life, you understand that where that comes from. If we have a look at Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, it gives a picture of Satan. And if we just read that together, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, light bringer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the ground. You have weakened the nations, king of Babylon. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the remote parts of the north. We can go to the next scripture. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself the most high. But in fact, you will be brought down to Sheol, to the remote recesses of the pit, the region of the dead. That's where selfishness comes from. It was birthed in human, in Adam. And most of what we see here on earth is out of Adam, but in Christ it's a different story. But let's just have a look at some of the attributes of selfish people. Now, when I do this, I don't want any nudges. I don't want looking around, looking at other people. I'm going to give a bit of a list here of selfishness and how it looks, all right? And I'd ask that my wife doesn't look at me up here on stage when I bring this, okay? So this is what selfishness looks like, just in case that you live with the perfect person who isn't selfish, okay? Just in case. This is what it looks like in maybe in other houses. So here we go. Selfish people think about themselves a lot. Selfish people look in the mirror a lot. Selfish people think certain tasks are below them. Selfish people are demanding. Selfish people are often critical, but don't take constructive criticism very well. Selfish people live on a one-way street. Selfish people always want to go first. Selfish people want the credit. Selfish people are often driven by their feelings. Selfish people manipulate outcomes by using emotions and feelings rather than truth. Selfish people rarely care about other people's feelings. Selfish people are not friendly. Proverbs 18:1 says, "An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgment starts quarrels." Selfish people are easily offended. Selfish people are self-deceived. They think that they are much worse off than anyone else, and they look at the circumstance and they think that they're in the worst position. Selfish people think that they work harder than anyone else. Selfish people blame others. Selfish people do what's right in their own eyes. Selfish people speak more than they listen. Selfish people don't share. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Andy made a comment about sharing food and that sort of stuff, and I must attest that I've had some real difficult... Like, marriage is the best way to deal with selfishness. It has been the best way to deal with selfishness. And I know that it's been difficult for me to share my food over the journey of our marriage. Now, we're still married, so it's a good thing. But I can see some raised eyebrows over there. No digging. This hasn't been very long for you guys. You want to just sort that out. But I really struggled to share my food, and it's very selfish. And I'm doing this in public. Do you want to turn? And there are things that we've all got elements of selfishness in us. That's one of mine. Selfish people want to climb a ladder even at the expense of others. There's plenty of ladder climbing goes on in corporates these days, or it goes on anywhere. Let's have a look at selfless people. Selfless people put other people first. Selfless people put aside their own interests. Selfless people come under godly authority, not their own. Selfless people lead in being selfless. Selfless people are generally team players. Selfless people represent Jesus. Selfless people ask, "How are you?" and mean it. Selfless people say sorry and mean it. Selfless people give generously. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. The outworking, isn't it interesting? The outworking of God's way is better, even if it doesn't feel like that's the best way to go. It's better to give than to receive. You might think you're losing, but you're gaining so much. Selfless people don't need an audience to be selfless. Just think about that one for a minute. Selfless people let it go. Selfless people take others with them on a positive journey. and selfless people don't have an overestimated opinion of themselves. This is one of the things that I think is just so powerful. Selfless people take responsibility. Jesus took responsibility when it wasn't his fault. And if you're looking to play the blame game, which so many people are these days, that's got a selfish motive behind it. Are you selfless or selfish? God wants the best for us, and we are better off being selfless. We might seem to be getting less, but end up with so much more. He knows what we need. In a world that should know better, people's state of mind isn't improving. And most of it is about looking after self. Maybe a little or a lot less of self might help. So very quickly, I just want to go through three things about how to be less selfish or how to be more selfless. And the first one's very deep. And the first one, if you're taking notes, is go whack. So that is the first point. You got that up there, Josh? Go whack. Go whack. Every time you see selfishness, whack it. I looked up the definition of whack, because some of you may not know it because it's so deep, and it is to strike with a resounding blow. And in the Merriam-Webster definition, it was really interesting, this is even deeper, which was under the chiefly British part of it, so the ancient, coming out of the ancient British, it says to get the better of, to defeat. And defeating selfishness is a very powerful thing. Now, there's a guy who I'm going to show you a video of in a minute, who had some real issues with selfishness, and whether he had an issue with wanting the credit, or whether he was driven by his feelings, or whether he was self-deceived, or always wanted to blame others. I just got this picture when I was doing this message. Just about the game, and it's called Whack-A-Mole. Does everyone know what Whack-A-Mole is? And when this little head pops up of selfishness, and I was just thinking, this, it needs to be whacked. And so this guy had some real issues, and he'd had enough of his selfishness. And so let's just have a bit of a look at, this is very spiritual, by the way, just have a little bit of a look at this guy and how he deals with his selfishness. He wins the prize. I just had that picture of every time that selfish thing comes out and you see it and recognise it, because often the selfishness we don't realise until after we've done it or it comes into our mind. Just think back till the next time and then go whack, whack it on the head. And you might think, well, it's not really that spiritual. Well, it kind of is. So Luke 9:23-26 says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, let me just stop there. We kind of see what the whole thing is, take up his cross daily. But when Jesus spoke about this, at the time, when you picked up your cross, you were going to die. You were on your way to death. This was a very real picture. And sometimes, as we as Christians in the Western world, I don't think we actually realise the significance of what this means. To pick up our cross daily, that means we're going to die. And so, when we pick up our cross, we're going to die. So when flesh comes, it's going to die. And so every day when selfishness rears its ugly head, it's going to die. We whack it. It's going to die. And so we need to die. And so let me just give you this little adage. Selfish people get offended easily. If you're dead, you can't be offended. Just have a think about that selfishness. And let's go back to, unless a grain of wheat dies, it won't grow or it won't bear more seeds. In our selfishness, in our flesh, it needs to die. And so when we're thinking about, can we be more like Christ? Here's a good way to do it. When we see it, kill it. Deal with it. Whack it. Let me put my glasses back on and finish this scripture. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? First point, whack it. Second point, prioritise. We have a look at this, and I've got a bit of an acronym here. Prioritise God and others. Now, to prioritise means to determine according to their importance. And so we need to put some things in their importance. So the acronym is TIME. So the first part of the acronym, prioritising God and others, and I'm going to keep it really simple, is time. Let me ask you these two questions. See if you can answer them in your own mind. Is your time spent doing what God wants or what you want? Is your time spent doing what God wants or what you want? Second question is, is your time spent benefiting others or more for yourself? We live in a world of self-help these days, to help our own selves. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Second one is I for importance of self. I for importance of self. So we're prioritising our time and we're putting self at a level that isn't meant to be. So we've heard Graham talk about it often, and one of the greatest problems in relationships is that self is on the throne. And when self is on the throne, people have difficulty in their relationships. Jesus was selfless. He is the greatest example of we've got of relationship that we can see. So self needs to come off the throne. Enough of, and stop asking, what about me? Stop asking, what about me? The importance of self has got to be put down the pecking order. Stop asking, what about me? When's it my turn? When am I going to be lifted up? When's it going to happen for me? They're all very selfish statements. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says this, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honour in his service at the appropriate time. Stop worrying about when and allow God to do it. Self off the throne. As I was just reading through the message before, something really stood out to me in this scripture. And it says, and in verse 6 it says, therefore humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Now that says to me that God's not going to humble us. We need to humble ourselves. We need to put ourselves in a position where we can be humbled. Now how do we do that? Well, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's brave, but you need to be vulnerable in being humbled. And that often requires, if you think you've got a bit of selfishness going on, and often it's the selfish people that kind of don't want to do this anyway, But you need to ask someone to say, can you please keep me accountable on my selfishness? Can you do that? Can you be vulnerable in that? Who would you allow to do that? Because the scripture's clear here. It says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in it. Under the mighty hand of God, set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honour in his service at the appropriate time. And again, the Passion Translation, I love it. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. Leave it to God. Stop worrying about it. Stop saying, what about me? Stop saying, when's it my time? Let God deal with it. He's got a greater work going on in your life than you realise. The third way, if we can go to next one, is time. The third way is money. Let's keep it fairly simple. It's better to give than to receive. Money hurts our hip pocket. If you're generous with your money, it tends to take away from selfishness. If you hold it to yourself, so if you are generous with, like we said, this is about prioritising God and others, prioritise God with your money and others with your money, it will help dealing with selfishness and you will help you to be more selfless. And the fourth one's probably a bit more of a personal one, but it might be more pertinent to guys. I don't know. I speak to some of my mates. And in your life, it's kind of, remember I talked about the first story where I said I had an AFL membership and it was really important, I had to go to the footy. It's kind of like entertainment or a toy. For some reason, guys, and you know, it happens in and outside of marriages, but guys in marriages think that they have the right to have toys. And so the toys that they have come at a cost to family and a cost to others. And I've heard countless boys talk about how, why shouldn't they be able to have this motorbike, or why shouldn't they be able to have this? And I'm not saying don't have it, but what I'm saying is when it comes to a cost of relationships, put them aside. Put them down the pecking order. They aren't that important. They're not as important as what God thinks that the things that he says are important. Amen. Who said amen? Stop looking. That wasn't Matt Vince. Oh, sorry, Matt. The last one. It's fun talking about selfishness, isn't it? It really is good fun. The last one, the third one, if we go to that next one, Josh, is ask the Holy Spirit. Guys, if I'm preaching this message and it's not the Holy Spirit at work in your lives, I'm wasting my time. Because Jesus said that he showed us how to live with his life, and he said he was going to send us the helper to help us be more like him, to help us to be able to be him on this earth. Ask the Holy Spirit. So let's read this scripture together. And this is fantastic. I love this scripture. It's one of my favourite scriptures. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. So the Spirit and the flesh are on opposite side. The flesh wants to be up here. The Spirit knows the best for us and wants us to be with God where he's at. And if he exampled coming down from the throne, it's for our benefit. 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free. Says you are not free. So it might feel like you're getting what you want and feel like you're getting freedom, but it says you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. And I've skipped through some of these, so I've cut some of the verses out just to speed it up. But 18 says, but if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. And 19, it says, now the doings, the practices of the flesh, so what's opposite to the Spirit, are clear and obvious. And there's a number of them there. immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, strife, and then it says selfishness. And I've underlined selfishness, or I've highlighted selfishness. So when you see selfishness, that is an act of the flesh. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the work by which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, etc., etc. We're dealing with self tonight. We're dealing with killing off the flesh. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh. So when we talk about the promised land, if you're a Christian here tonight, you have crucified the flesh with Christ. And for some of us, we actually need to take ownership and walk into the promised land. Take it. Walk into the promised land. Don't go, oh, I'm such a selfish person, it's so hard. No, start to walk in what God has ordained for your life. And so, but the fruit of the Spirit, and those who belong to Christ Jesus must have crucified the flesh with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in the line of our conduct, controlled by the Spirit. There's a commentary that I read at the end of that, and it says, Christian character is produced by the Spirit. Christian character is produced by the Spirit. We can try as hard as we like. Without the Spirit, it's not going to happen. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. There are people, it doesn't matter where you've started. When we talk about selfishness, and we talk about the different people, all you people that are here have all started at different places. Some of you have had great examples of selflessness in your life. Some of you haven't. Some of you have grown up in a household where what has been modeled to you is selfishness. But what I'm reading here says, by the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in Christ, having the mind of Christ, we can become more like Christ no matter what our background or what our start, no matter how it's been, we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we go and say we can't do it, we're making a mockery of what the Word of God says, because he says we can change. He says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're new creations. We're born again. We're new creations. And it's time to step into it. If you see selfishness in your life, put it on the cross. Kill it off. See it killed off and let the Holy Spirit slowly but surely. And so in 6 months' time, you'll be in a different place to where you are now. Don't use, I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of that. Allow God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to change your heart. He can. And the seeds that will go to the ground as the flesh dies, you will begin to see a harvest of seeds. I can tell you, I've seen it in my own life. 25 years ago, I never thought that 10 years down the track I would have been in youth ministry doing what I was doing. But the flesh had to die, and it constantly has to die. Constantly, in my own life and in all our lives. Let's stand to our feet. I don't want any music, and I don't want an altar call. But God really spoke to me about the Holy Spirit, about his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about his Holy Spirit, saying this cannot be just words on a page tonight. If God is speaking to you about selfishness, and he really has been tonight, I just want you to raise your hand in the air right now. Put it up high. That's great. Awesome. The scripture in lead up to that scripture in Galatians, by the way, is chapter 4 in verse 14, is the scripture that says, love your neighbour as yourself. And then it shows us how to do it. We need to be more like Christ, and in our thinking, change our minds and deal with selfishness. When selfishness is dealt with, we're going to see a harvest. Might be souls, but it could be really good things in the people around us that we rub shoulders with. We just don't know what it is. We just ask to be more like Christ. And so for those who raise their hands, I want to ask the Holy Spirit just comes in power for all of us, but empowers you not to say can't, but also empowers you to look for and deal with selfishness. We've all got it in us. All of us have. If God's speaking to you about it and you really put your mind to go, God, I'm going to have a focus on this, but a focus on you, he'll deal with it in your life. It's better for you, I'm telling you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your selflessness. We are here today because of your selflessness. God, we are here today because you sent your Son to die. Lord, I pray that the flesh that is in the way of the Spirit would die tonight. And right now I pray that there's a transaction that takes place in the lives of people. That, Lord, your Spirit would do an awesome work. We can try all we like. We need to hand it to you. And so, Lord, we do. We hand it to you and we pray that your Spirit does a good work in us. It'll be better for us and better for those around us. Let the flesh die. Let the Spirit of God be exalted and let people be drawn to you. So, Father, we just thank you for these things and we pray them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.